The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Hello and welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
This is a podcast on the internet. It's about comedy. Matt, what other kind of stuff is in it?
It's about internet reviews.
Sure. Sure.
It's kind of the intersection of those two things when it comes right down to it.
I wouldn't just say it's not just kind of the intersection. It is the intersection. There's many places that are trying to intersect those, but we're kind of in the Times Square of internet reviews and comedy. One of the seven wonders of the internet and review, or the comedy and review world, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Very busy. It's like the Shibuya crossing of comedy. It's
sturdy. Sturdy infrastructure.
It all kind of starts and ends with reviews from Kmart.com, but we also get them from Amazon and Yelp.
Google.
TripAdvisor, Google. And this one. This one's from Amazon, I guess. There's a couple of reviews on there. It's kind of known for reviews. But I'll start with this deep cut from little-known review website Amazon. 4 Play-Doh modeling compound, 10-pack, case of colors, non-toxic, assorted, 2-ounce cans, multicolor, Christmas stocking stuffer for kids ages 2 and up, Amazon exclusive.
2-ounce cans.
Yeah, these are the little... You can't even make a proper sized turd out of these things.
Thank you.
I think we might have done Play-Doh before, but I know it wasn't this review. We have a review from Rain for Pyre. They write, or they title their review, Strange Texture and Shining and Staining Dyes. They write, this batch was super strange. The Play-Doh came out super sticky to skin and surfaces, getting stuck underneath nails, but not sticking back to itself. Soft, but also crumbling into small pieces easily. Greasier than usual.
Ew.
The colors dyed my kids' hands and didn't come off with one wash so easily. Has anyone experienced this? 2 stars.
Ew. You got some ooze.
A little bit of ooze. You think we've stumbled upon an ooze situation here?
Some play ooze.
Yeah, as many gross things have been marketed to kids to play with. They shouldn't be greasy.
Greasy, staining, probably qualities you don't want in your child a toy. I don't know, it was like $15 for this little set of Play-Doh, but...
This thing's a stinking deal, buddy. $7.99.
Woo! All right, yeah. At that price point, when I crack that sucker open and I see it's shiny, I pop it right back up and I say, maybe I give it one little good finger push, but when it feels wrong, when it doesn't feel like the Play-Doh I know and love, I'm not going to try and make it work.
I think that's very true, right? You don't like after you know the Play-Doh's wrong, which I... From these symptoms, they sound very dramatic. You know, it's not like it was a little dry. The dye came off a little. It was greasy. It was everywhere.
Washing hands more than once.
Mm-hmm. None of those red flags stopped you from giving her hell?
Ugh.
If I got some ooey-gooey Play-Doh, that isn't ooey-gooey in the proper sort of al dente way. Yeah, I'm shipping that back to Mama's on.
Nasty little grease turd.
Not before I make a nasty little grease turd out of them.
You can make sort of Play-Doh yourself anyway. You can make slimes and stuff like that. Just, ugh.
Yeah, it's just little science experiments. Yeah, I kind of hate this stuff. You know, the stuff that's like, oh, it's a solid and a liquid. When you like put pressure, it turns to liquid.
Cornstarch and yeah, that stuff.
That's just nasty.
That's exactly don't make what I was thinking like that. Of.
Yeah, that's... You think someone just made some homemade Play-Doh? Just half-assed some homemade Play-Doh, repackaged it, sent it back to Amazon? Okay, I think there's a Play-Doh return ring out there.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. The scam is... You order the Play-Doh 10-pack, you take out the Play-Doh, you put in your own grease. Whatever grease you want, really. And you ship it back. You say, this is gross. This is, why did my Play-Doh have grease in it?
Mm-hmm. You do this again and again and again.
Again and again and again. And by the time you know it, you have a home.
Yeah. You've got like an iridescent pink throne. Custom fit to your butt size.
I mean, that's just one part of the mansion that you could build with infinite Play-Doh from Amazon.
You could also eat it.
And then all you'd need to do is, after you get enough Play-Doh, then you just got to start sort of you just spray Play-Doh with hairspray to make it water resistant. I think that would work.
Usually you bake it or something. I don't know, man.
You bake it? Yeah, in the sun. You just got to do this in the summer. Or you make, you know, you just make it in bricks. You make individual bricks, pre-bake, and then...
I really like this idea.
Yeah, in today's housing market, this hardly seems ridiculous.
Plus, gorgeous, beautiful house.
Tie-dye Technicolor. You'll be the only one on the block like that for sure. With all like salty your walls, I don't think bugs are going to fuck with you either.
Mm.
No termites. Aldo, baby. You got a review?
I do. I'm going to go with this Google review for World's Fair Donuts. It's in St. Louis, Missouri. This is a review from Kim Will. Kim writes, "To be honest, the cashier looked like she died and came back alive. Her makeup was so bad it made her look bluish. Not trying to be mean, but it disturbed me and my friend. Also, the donut was okay, but it also does not look like they changed a thing since 1950. It's like a blast from the past in a bad way. 1 star.
Man, for how much crap companies get for changing their recipes and not being exactly how they were in 1950, that hardly seems like it can be an insult. Like it could be used against them, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Even with the
"in a bad way" tacked onto it, which I know what they mean. I can agree.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't know. You gotta look around you.
I have a feeling all the old people in St. Louis, like this blue lady, they really like it the old way.
They really like it the old. And I mean, who wouldn't from 1950 have a 1950s donut and be like, whoa? And if you aren't from 1950 and you don't like 1950s donuts, then who are you to say? Maybe this place just isn't for you. And I know that's hard to accept for some people.
Some donut shops just, they can't appeal to all.
Right. I don't want to live in a world where, I don't want to live in a one donut fits all kind of world. That's dystopian to me. I definitely don't like the same type of donuts my grandma likes.
Yeah, this has me thinking about with the 1950s. How long have Long John's been around? Is that like scandalous to a 1950s donut consumer? Long John's? Ugh. Undergarments?
Bear claw. Why do you dip? Why don't you glaze?
I like my donuts dry.
A Persian? No, 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 no. This is America, not the Middle East. Oh, and I don't know. The worst donut is still a donut, in my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty... The only way you really mess up a donut is if you're just like a super hairy donut shop worker and your hair gets on the donut.
I had like a sugar-free one I had once, and it wasn't that good. I've had gluten-free donuts that are like pretty bussin'.
Hey, donuts, yeah, it's a simple concept. Dough and nut, you know?
So you don't put this in the fryer, boss. No, you just nut it. You just nut them. That's how you get them crispy on the outside. And boss, what do you mean by nut? Oh, we don't talk about that.
Gotta make the donuts. Gotta make the donuts. Why you gotta get up so early in the morning to make these donuts, boss? Oh.
I'm too tired by the end of the day.
Takes a lot longer than it used to.
I do. One of the most appetizing things in the world to me, not to segue from that, from what we were just joking about, but the preparation of donuts made me think about it. You know the thin, like slightly less fried line around the edge of the donut? Where it's kind of like you like fry the donut, it gets golden brown. You flip it, fry the other side, it gets golden brown. But there's the part in the middle that doesn't hit the oil.
It's just so buoyant. It came, yeah.
Yeah, it's just springing up there. That little slightly less done line is perhaps the most like appetizing thing in the world to me. That little
non-crisped equator.
Right, and if the whole donut was that, it wouldn't work, right? It's just that that gradient is just so aesthetically amazing in my mind for some reason. Next time you get yourself a little donut, you ponder that line, and you think about what it means to you. Maybe it's just like when that's prominent, it's always a good donut. It's not so much about that. It's just sort of a barometer.
Sure, yeah, that's like an indicator of quality. It's a blue ribbon.
Yeah. The white necklace. Not pearls, though. I have a review. I have a review for... I have a pair of reviews. They're both kind of short, so we'll see how much we have to say about them. Both for restaurants that are quite different. This first one from Yelp. For Quill Restaurant and Cocktail Bar in Washington, D.C. Kind of an upscale place.
Sounds like it.
This review from KB reads, "Beautiful hotel and bar. Drinks made right as you would expect. Unfortunately, the acoustics in the Quill are horrendous. I was sitting right next to my husband, and I couldn't hear him saying anything." There were three other patrons in the bar laughing and screeching so loudly that they drowned out everyone else. Then two more shouting people entered, and it turned into a din of five people shouting like they owned the place. A classy bar with very unclassy customers. 4 stars.
Oh, okay. We want to get the second one, or we want to react to this first?
You do this okay. One. They're pretty unrelated.
A few things. Maybe your husband just doesn't want to talk to you. He's like mumbling the whole time. That's what occurred to me.
So you think her husband, whether consciously or subconsciously, was just not into the evening. And she decided to take it out on some people having a good time.
Yeah, probably. But beyond that, what I like the most, I'm just picturing like stage directions of two men enter yelling. Like they came into the, "Hey, buddy, you want to go get a drink?" "Yeah, I want to get a drink." They're just walking and yelling at the same time into a bar. I love the image.
Yeah, kind of like their head and their bodies are sort of animated separately.
Yes.
Very, like, animated shouting heads with very, like, cool walking legs. The heads are just
locked
legs
on each other. Yeah, yeah. They sit down at the bar, like a one frame, and they're seated in the chairs.
Yeah, and their heads are just, their mouths and faces are still. They somehow order their drinks, communicate with the bartender while still just like yelling at each other incoherently.
It's a series of like, fists on the bar, boom, 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 pop, boom. He looks up, he shakes his head, he slides down some foamy boys.
You can't quite see how, but they're screaming and drinking at the same time. Like, you can't quite look at it like a black hole. Like, you just look through it. What the hell? Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. Feels bad. Is that what you want me to say, Miss Yelper?
They still gave it 4 stars.
Sounds like a nice place. Yeah, sometimes people are loud. Whatever.
Hey! Sometimes people are loud.
Screeching. Oh.
Okay, so I got a the other end of the Yelp restaurant spectrum. I got Fire Oven Pizza from, where is this? In Louisville, Kentucky. Brad B. writes, not sure what to say. We asked them to cook our pizza a little longer, but they didn't, and I understand why. The outside of the crust would have been burned, but the center of the crust was warm in some spots and uncooked in others. Nice people, though, and very helpful. 3 stars.
Uncooked?
Yeah, this one was very confusing to me. It's sort of like, perplexing.
I'm someone who doesn't like to make a fuss at a restaurant if something's a little off. I don't want to be a complainer. I don't want to be a nuisance. But if your pizza, if it's not cooked in the middle, send it back. Brad's too much a cool cucumber.
That's just not how ovens work. The microwave effect that the Hot Pockets get, do they not have like a giant brick oven?
Yeah, what sort of
they have a giant microwave oven? Isn't cooking the middle good? Because they said like the outside was nearly burned and the pizza was warm in some spots and uncooked in others.
Was it like a pizza mound? There's gradually more toppings as it gets to the center. Because that might do it. If you got a solid 2 inches of cheese and pepperoni just waiting to get cooked through.
No, these pizzas are such the most, like, pizzeria pizzas. By the slice type looking pie. Mm-hmm. I mean, the cheese is gooey. And the outside looks crispity, but from these pictures, I don't know. It hardly looks raw. Some of those vegetals might be a little undercooked on there. Not a lot of blistering, but yeah.
That looks fine.
The technique that led to what happened, I just can't understand. Yeah, but it is how is an uncooked pizza 3 stars, right? Inedible. I don't like to rag on any small business, any non-chain, but like an inedible pizza is objectively a 1-star experience.
Yeah, if you can't eat it, that's a nope.
If you can't eat it, you're going to be repeating it later on the toilet. Doed out of your mind. But the other thing is, I kind of, you know, I don't mind my pizza a little medium well.
This saves you from burning your dang mouth. Oh, that's for sure. Oof.
Nothing like the old carpet on top of the mouth. I'm gonna eat a whole freaking pizza after this. This thing we're talking about, donuts. Pizza?
Yeah.
It's usually bad. Play-Doh?
I got a review. I've got some short ones that I just found today, actually, that we won't have much to react to. Just like some of the strangest people that I've ever come across. The things they say. I'll go with this one because it's weirder. And it'll probably just lead to an awkward silence. And we'll say, yeah, let's take a break. This is a Google review from Turkey Run State Park. It's a state park in Indiana. Looks pretty cool. Trails look cool. This is a review from Paul Cook. Paul writes, Been going to Turkey Run since 9 months before I was born. First time seeing a deer there was on Trail 1 between Suspension Bridge and Covered Bridge. Beautiful place to hike, canoe, camp, and have family get-togethers. 5 stars. Well, he does leave, like, extra playground. My little family members seemed to like the playground area. Restrooms. Restrooms could be cleaner. Odor of urine. Picnic area very clean, but you have to remove any trash you have accumulated. So Paul just seems to be the strangest person in existence.
Public parks have busboys now. Dude, did you know that? Apparently, public parks out there again. They got the busboys that come around after you have your little picnic. They clean up for you, dude.
Right after you.
That's fucking amazing.
I'm just... been going 9 months before I was born, he says. Mm-hmm. What are you trying to... I know what you're telling us, but why are you trying to tell us this, Paul?
And why like that?
And I'm just
I've been
as
here
unhinged.
As long as I can remember. My
parents conceived me here.
Yeah, my parents were going here even before I was born. My daddy was carrying me around in his nutsack when he was going to this here park, so I've been done here for quite a long time.
Turkey Fun and Turkey Run.
The other thing is, like, you don't need to tell us it smells like urine. I can do that logic in my head of what a smelly, you know, what a unclean bathroom is.
These non sequiturs. Odor of urine.
That's my favorite crust punk album.
Anyway, let's take a break. This is weird.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt. Welcome back, guys. I have a segment. 2 weeks in the making. On the Halloween episode, I said, damn. We can't talk about this movie. The review embargo is going to be lifted to like a couple hours after recording time. And then the next week, Matt had an also, hey, this could have been a segment on Halloween, but it wasn't.
Yep.
segment. But now, and I'm not complaining. I think letting it cook, I got a couple more reviews out of it that we might not have, but I've got a bare knuckle letter boxing for Five Nights at Freddy's.
Let's go.
Yep. That movie featuring Josh Hutcherson featuring live action Shaggy featuring Chuck E. Cheese Spookies and bare knuckle letter boxing. Yeah. What's your experience with Five Nights at Freddy's franchise, Matt?
I haven't played the games, haven't watched the movie. I've been aware of them. I've seen clips. Mm-hmm. I've seen children dressed up as them for Halloween this year.
Sure, have touched on the phenomenon has scraped against you a few times.
Yeah, I'm not a complete. Wow, I wonder what that is. No, I know what it is.
Well, the first Letterboxd review we have this week is our review of the movie. I'm very happy to say for the first time.
What?
Reviewparty.com writes, I came expecting mid. I was a fool. I'd love 5, even 10 more nights in that bitch. 4 stars.
No way.
It's true. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I really thought it would be average at best, but I kind of liked it. As not a fan of the franchise, but you know, an appreciator of the franchise. I played a few of the games, watched other, you know, a YouTuber play through two of a few other games. So yeah, I'm pretty happy that it's doing good in the box office. It's going to get some sequels. I think it could go some fun places.
It looked all right. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's surprisingly watchable. I was pretty happy with it. But also, it's to go full into a real review, it's not really a horror movie. It was more psychological.
Okay.
Than going for like the big jump scares you might expect from the franchise, which is just my sort of horror movie. You know, I'm not really a traditional horror movie fan. I kind of like the more. It kind of was a Sixth Sense sort of vibe in the way where it's just so much about the sort of lore and mystery of the paranormal activity is about the scares.
Okay.
But not so much what a twist happening. Anyway, let's get on to... Okay, I was like, did I cut off all their names? I didn't. I'm going to read this one first, just because this guy's name is Cinema Joe. Cinema Joe writes, either die a hero, Blumhouse circa Get Out and Whiplash, or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Blumhouse circa Exorcist Believer and Five Nights at Freddy's.
Ooh.
1.5 stars.
Ooh.
Pretty scathing. Yeah. Let's hear from M Bat Emoji, though. This review may contain spoilers. Apologies. Best part was when Freddy said, "It's Fazin' time," and fazzed all over everyone. 5 stars.
Gotta see it now.
That's the power of the review, baby. Danny Dana Dina. Also, their review may also contain spoilers. Better movie about child trafficking than Sound of Freedom. 5 stars.
God. Well, I know which one I'd rather watch. I'll say that much. Which one's like truly a horror movie in that it exists and.
Right.
Anyway.
Wizzy Will. We'll lighten things up a bit, I guess. This movie does to furries what Jaws did to swimming. 3.5 stars.
That is great.
Yeah, that one's pretty witty, I must say. The Film Drunk writes, Matthew Lillard always understands the assignment. 2 stars. Perhaps a higher review of Lillard's performance. So. Owen writes, one of the baddest bitches you know is going to give this one a 4 stars. 1 star. George Clark writes simply, 5 Nights at Shitty's. 1.5 stars. This one by Ilsa says, it's a big day for annoying people. 3 stars.
Okay.
A little hate on the fandom, so to speak. But I thought it was kind of funny. Courtney Lucas writes, the cupcake had fucking teeth. 4 stars. Matt Singer writes, after One Nights at Freddy's, I don't think I would return 4 more times. 1.5 stars. Mia writes, she on my Freddy for 5 nights, 3.5 stars. Okay, I forgot about this one. This one's by Jay Bird. I hope I can do it justice. The prose is really fantastic. PETA suits up and gets ready, just needing work that is steady. The job is a breeze. It ain't Chuck E. Cheese, who is probably no match for Freddy. 2 stars.
Oh, okay. We love limericks.
Yep. A little PETA, because PETA, you know.
Right. The Games of Hunger.
The Games of Hunger. He was in there. And then he went to. Then he said this, being Katniss's second choice husband, it kind of sucks. I'm going to go work at Five Nights at Freddy's. So, yeah. That's Five Nights at Freddy's. It's on Peacock. cheaper than going to the movies, $5.99.
Okay.
Get Peacock. Hey. Actually, there's some other stuff on Peacock. I was like, dang, I gotta watch a couple movies before my subscription runs out here. But yeah, that's Bare Knuckle Letterboxing. I hope you enjoyed it. Do you have a review?
I do. I've got some Letterboxd all up in my craw as well. So I may as well get to it. We're not talking about Halloween anymore. We're talking about something else we missed. The 5th of November, I got some Letterboxd reviews. Remember, for V for Vendetta. Just three. Two of them are very, very short. This one comes to us from Clark. Clark writes, "This movie reminds me a lot of You Got Mail, in that I also hate it. 1 star. But that, I mean...
That's a funny review, yeah. I disagree with the star rating, but I can't deny that's a pretty good one.
Right. This one, much like we had a reviewer where spelling errors were left intact just because it made it better last week, that's what I'm going to do here. Chloe Griffiths writes, "Shittest movie ever. Had to watch this shit in class and wanted to gag my eyes out. 1/2 star.
I think those were all intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was for flavor.
That is some flavor.
She knew it. She understood the assignment, as the kids say. Picture
gagging your eyes out, literally.
Yeah, you ever go, and then your eyes start to go, and then your butthole starts to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for me, that's a slow Tuesday.
Here's one with something to chew on. This is a review from Viskoksa. They write, they've got a V username too. Anyway, they write, "This movie blows dick. His stupid little mask and dumb haircut distracted the entire movie. And also, everything is dark. And if you have a TV set to high contrast, you can't see shit. Especially when the curtains are open and there is sun shining on the TV screen. And you can kind of see the dust on the screen. And it just kind of makes you not want to watch it. Not because of the sunlight or the glare or the contrast, but because of the haircut. 1 star.
They got a lot going on, man.
They do.
I think the review speaks for itself in a way that it wasn't intended to.
It does touch on something that I feel all of us have experienced at one point or another, though, that is so often left out of reviews, that evening sun, that golden hour, just shining right through your windows on your TV while you're trying to play San Andreas or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then my my aunt used to come in the den, I guess we would call it, the computer room. There's the computer and the Super Nintendo / PlayStation TV. So me and the cousins would be in there with the shades drawn.
Naturally.
My aunt would kick down the door and pull up the curtain. And, "What is that damn dungeon in here?" I'm a little sad that none of the reviews mentioned a very important moment for the men of our generation.
There was one that talked about shaving. How dare you shave Natalie Portman?
Thank you for shaving Natalie Portman. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. I remember my one weird friend being like real, real excited when she put on that little dress. I was like, well, yeah, but she's also posing like a child right now. You know that, right?
Right. The situation's very fucked up.
Don't be into that, okay?
It's like when, you know, guys watch South Park and think Cartman's cool. Like, you know, that's not the reason that's on the screen. You're not supposed to identify with that. Okay, I got a review. This one's off season, but we've been so spooky lately. You know, I need to perk it up.
Unspooky.
From Amazon, the 1,200 pieces Red Heart shape sticker labels with perforation line in roll used for Valentine's Day award charts, offices, teachers, and classroom bookmarks 3/4 inch in diameter. Bunch of heart stickers.
Sounds pretty, pretty.
Very nice. Mesh titles it. Nice hearts. Not so nice roller. They write, I like the hearts. The adhesion is good. I primarily purchase them for envelopes. They firmly stick. The red is, as shown, bold. As you can see from my pictures, what I'm not thrilled with is the roller, which holds the hearts. About every 10 hearts, there's two that overlap each other. The roller is flimsy and looks nothing like the descriptive. Descriptive picture shown, which is smooth and rolled firmly. The roller is also crinkled. Granted, this doesn't, for the most part, impact the quality of the hearts. I'm disappointed with the presentation. $1,200 for $699, I shouldn't complain. I'm writing about what I received. I wish it was a better quality. This reflects my 4 stars. I feel it was good for what I paid, and I wouldn't find these anywhere else for this price. I recommend the heart sticker with a heads up on the rolling aspect. 4 stars.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I feel like it's more than anyone really was bargaining for in your review there.
You think this was a fantastic display of reviewmanship here?
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying social cues. I know you can't really read social cues when you're independently writing a review on Amazon, but still, you should have some semblance, some sense of how much information and personal opinion. Like, just land the plane. Just get it down. Get your point across.
To further your metaphor, she did sort of land the plane and then bunny hop it several hundred times before really pulling it into the garage there.
Right. And you know what happens? That gives me a crick in my neck. I'm like, ugh, no, I don't feel good. I don't feel good anymore. It's a lie. I do feel good in that this is one of those reviewers who has the presence of mind to, even though they received something that wasn't quite perfect, like, I'm not gonna just completely bomb it. 4 stars for what I received. It's a good price. There's some issues here, but it's good overall. Recommended. I think a list or like a bullet point system would have served this well. Good product. Here are some issues. Overall, recommend.
The problem was with the freedom of Amazon's review format.
Here. Yeah, we need like an editor. Some editorialism here. Just to tease it up. You know,
now there's a $1 million idea. Not so much a way we can make money off of it, other than Amazon gives us $1 million to be review editors.
I don't know. You think we could do that on Fiverr? I will edit your Amazon reviews.
It sounds like a great experiment.
It sounds like a great experiment. I'm game.
You are a Vine voice. We do have credential. Like, do you want to be a Vine voice and get free stuff? Let us pay us $5 to edit your to doctor up your review. Bit of an Ed and Eddie. We can get a lot of jawbreakers out of this. Yeah,
probably literally.
I think that's all we have to say about Mesh's mushy, hearty review. Do you have a review?
Yeah. Do we want another letterbox? Or do we want another weird Google?
I could go either way, I think.
I'll go. They're both spooky, so I can't even ask there. I'm gonna go with the letterboxed. This is a letterboxed review of A Haunting in Venice. It's the where Kenneth Branagh plays Hercule Poirot, whatever his name is.
Oh, okay.
The detective for Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
He did Murder on the Orient and Death on the Nile. This is another one of those.
The detective. I saw it.
It was pretty good. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. There were some silly parts, actually. So I'll put it right out there. I disagree with what Garrett has to say. Here's what Garrett writes. This film is terrifyingly bad. Tina Fey should never be cast in a dramatic role again. Throughout the film, she seemingly decided when to and when to not carry through with her butchered attempt at a transatlantic accent. Bonkers. Also, the cinematography. My eyes still hurt. A person in the row behind me gushed about the way the film was shot as soon as the credits rolled. It took everything in me not to turn around and tell her that she had the most egregious taste in film. I bet it made her top four. Shameful. 1 star.
You keep bringing these reviews of, like, media elitists that are, like, holding up a mirror to how I can be, how the feelings I can have about media that sucks.
Yes. that end there.
But it's always about media I could care less about if it's good or bad, you know, that I have no stock in it.
No, it's not make or break. It's very ambivalent, non-offensive media.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I have never seen a movie and just been like, if this isn't somebody's top four, so help me. I'm going to wring their neck. You can hear his lip curling as he, I bet it made her top four. Shameful. I just pretend other people don't exist when I'm in the movie theater.
That's ideal. There is. I always hold near and dear. Maybe I've told this story on the podcast before. Have we talked about King Kong? Peter Jackson King Kong before?
I don't know.
I'll tell it quickly, just in case I have said it before. Mm. Just in case there's that podcast listener. in episode 47, you actually spent like 5 minutes on this. I was watching King Kong, the Peter Jackson version. Very long movie. This guy behind us is very annoying. There's two things he did that were annoying that were funny. The first thing he did was moving his straw up and down in his drink. And my dad just simply had to turn around and look at him for him to stop doing that. And then the other thing was when Jack Black came on the stream, who, if you were alive when the King Kong marketing was happening, everyone knew that Jack Black was in that damn movie with Adrian Brody. And when Jack Black came on the screen, he went, oh, is that Jack Black? That's Jack Black! He like said it like not even hushed.
Wow.
So,
how could you have missed? There's the scene of Jack Black running with the thing, is Jack Black going to get crushed? Look at, he's tubby boy running away.
Yeah, that was sort of at the height of Jack Black. Like, Jack Black is huge. Jack Black can be in comedies. Jack Black can be a panda. Jack Black can be in serious movies.
Now he's just grown a beard and making music sometimes.
And making music sometimes? Making silly? That's the dream, dude. Being to, like, be Jumanji. Soft or tired. Yeah, just being like Jumanji, make a bunch of money, make some silly TikToks with the homie, make music because that's your jam. That's the dream. You know what my dream is?
What is that?
To end this goddamn episode.
Shut it down.
It's over. Thank you for listening, everybody. You made it to the end of the episode. I do appreciate it. Welcome to the Real Ones Club. The first thing you got to know about this club is we gather every Tuesday. That's right. Hashtag every Tuesday. Reviews Day, new episodes of ReviewParty.com, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And if you want to be a part of the show, we'd love that even more. Send us an absurd or funny or goofy or weird review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com and include your name. We'd love to throw you some credit.
Hey, you want to reach out to us? You want to touch base? You want to extend your little feelers? You got like, something like that. You can do that on Instagram and TikTok @reviewparty.com or on Twitter/X @reviewpartypod. You can read, like you heard one here today, you can read our reviews on Letterboxd, just Review Party. Search for us. You'll find us. And if none of that sounds like it's your style, take the self to reviewparty.com. The blog is there. Reviews are written about. The episodes are there, like the one you're listening to now.
Now?
But now. And now, there's a lot there. What do you want me to say? I don't want to, like, spoon feed you, but there's a lot there. And yeah. That's all I have to say.
If I were to spoon feed someone, I would probably make it bread. And at what time of day? Of the morning, so it'd be bread for breakfast. That's the song you've heard throughout the episode, believe it or not. And the homies Nosebleeds wrote that song. It was so good. We were like, can we put that in our podcast? They said, yeah, because they're cool. So show them some love. They got lots of more good music. Nosebleeds, check them out on like Spotify. It's a pretty good spot. Just search Nosebleeds, one word. Matt, I have a finisher here.
Yeah.
Want to show us out. It's also for some of that Moroccan argan oil. Argan oil, Morocco, from Amazon.
Yes.
I'll do the whole title again. OGX, extra strength, renewing, plus argan oil, Morocco, penetrating hair treatment, deep moisturizing serum for dry, damaged, and coarse hair, paraben-free, sulfated surfactants-free, 3.3 fluid ounce bottle. This is a review from Good. Good titles their review good. They write... Haven't tried. 5 stars.